This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week begins right here, right now. Hello and welcome to a Monday morning live on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens, and that's all around the Sports Grid network. It includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. A weekend looking back on what we saw in the world of sports, with history at stake tonight in Game 7 of the 2024 Stanley Cup Final. The Edmonton Oilers will just not quit. After going down 0-3, Edmonton has won three in a row to force a Game 7 tonight. Will we party like it's 1942, or will the Florida Panthers finally win yet another game to win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history? We look back on a quadruple header, a big day of Sunday action in the WNBA, all around the weekend that was across MLB, and plenty more in the world of golf, some tennis, all of that and more. It's the summertime, baby. He's Donnie Wrightside. I'm Ben Stevens. And DRS, let's get it rolling.
And boy, was it a hot weekend here in the Northeast. We're not just talking about the weather conditions, people. Heating up on the bases. Your boy had a nice profitable Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as we start our new week, new money. A lot of good details to go over there. But also, it is Game 7 today. This is all we could have asked for. And it feels like the NBA season ended 4 months ago. And hockey now still going on in Game Number 7, which we got a preview for you in each hour today. I can't wait to watch it play out. Nothing better. Look, give me overtime tonight. Just give me overtime tonight, Ben, and we can all live.
Oh, the anticipation of what could be in OT. The stress levels across the ice in the National Hockey League to crown a Stanley Cup champion. Now, that would be something. We look back on the weekend first and review it here bright and early on this Monday morning. Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark once again. Yesterday in Chi-Town, the Sky hosting the Fever, and Indiana up by double digits, even as up by as many as 12 points early in the fourth quarter before Reese leads the Sky on a comeback, 88-87, in another classic between Reese and Clark, dating back to their days in college hoops and now here in the WNBA. Indiana does cover as a 2.5-point favorite. It snaps a four-game win streak for the Fever, and Angel Reese dominant yesterday, 25 points, 16 rebounds, her eighth consecutive double-double in her WNBA career. That's a record for the most double-doubles in a row of any WNBA rookie in the history of the league. Clark not bad on the other side, 17 points, 13 dimes, but Chicago comes away with a win.
Yeah, great game, but also great defense here played by the Chicago Sky in the first three quarters. 26 points, 20, and 26 points for the Fever. In that fourth quarter, only 15 points, which allowed for that big comeback, 88-87. Look, this rookie class here, these are the two superstars, and it seems like that rivalry is off to a great start here in the WNBA. It was an action-packed day yesterday, which also included another sold-out arena and an electric atmosphere around the entire game. Liked what I saw yesterday. The Fever weren't able to hold on, but now the Sky 6-9, the Fever 7-11, side by side in the standings.
Indiana's still looking pretty good. They were 2-9 for their first 11 games in the first 20 days of a jam-packed slate to start this season, even with the loss yesterday. As things have settled down a little bit for Indy, they are 5-2 over their last 17 days in their last 7 games. We'll have plenty more around the WNBA a little bit later on. Yesterday, Major League Baseball, Sunday Night Baseball, inside the friendly confines of Wrigley Field, the New York Mets, in the grimace era in the month of June, continue to play good baseball. 5-2, the victory yesterday. A series win in Chicago against the Cubbies. But an interesting moment, DRS, as the closer Edwin Diaz was out there in the ninth to try to hold on for the save before even throwing a pitch. He's ejected after a sticky stuff check.
Yeah, and it's not a surprise at this point now. When you see a guy's career start to fall off, you're going to do anything you can to get that edge to sort of stay in Major League Baseball. Diaz gets canned yesterday. That's an automatic 10-game suspension. But the Mets did win that game 5-2. And how about Luis Severino? 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, no earned runs, 10 strikeouts through 102 pitches. That's exactly what you like. But also, from a Chicago Cubs perspective, 4 games under 500. Imanaga looks like he's getting found out around Major League Baseball. And now we take a look at Assad yesterday. 4 1/3 innings pitched, 4 earned runs here. There's trouble in Chicago, yeah. But how about the Mets? 2 games out of being 500 now. All right.
Absolutely so. Chicago's struggling here in the month of June. The New York Mets, the complete opposite. 13-6, straight up the Amazons here in June. A former New York Met making his season debut in Arlington yesterday for the Texas Rangers. Future Hall of Famer is what the graphic reads. I believe he will make his way to Cooperstown, but a 3-time Cy Young Award winner. Max Scherzer in his first outing of 2024. Damn near perfect, retiring 15 of the 16 batters that he faced, 5 innings of work, shutout baseball, only allowing a single hit. He was stellar in his season debut.
Yeah, you'd like to see the strikeouts be a little bit higher than 4 over those 5 innings, but they'll get that together. 57 pitches, very efficient for only 5 innings here, but some of those anomalies that you don't see too much in Major League Baseball. Max Scherzer goes 5 innings. The next pitcher that comes in is Urania. He goes 4 innings there. So 2 pitchers, 9 total innings, both of them dominant at the same time, and the Kansas City Royals get shut out yesterday. This is what we're talking about for the Texas Rangers, waiting on some of those superstar pitchers to come back into that rotation to sort of help out, because the Rangers still under 500, but a lot of those guys got banged up beginning of the season or maybe even didn't even make it into the season from that starting pitching staff. They got some positional players coming back as well. It would be interesting to see where the Rangers end up this year.
The AL West on a little bit of a rise this weekend. The Rangers sweep the Royals. The Astros sweep the Orioles. Hide that fork. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. Skeens Day number 8 in the history of Major League Baseball yesterday in Pittsburgh. Paul Skeens sensational once again. 7 innings of work, allowing just 6 hits and 1 earned run, striking out 8, the deepest he has gone into a game in his MLB career. But the Buccos come up lame. They lose to the Rays 3-1.
Yeah, getting through 7 innings and throwing less than 100 pitches is fantastic for a strikeout pitcher, because typically, if you are a heavy strikeout guy, you're pitching 6-7 innings, you might be going over 100, 110 pitches at that point. Like what I see out of Skeens, this is anticipated out of Pittsburgh, though. Not a great baseball team, still under 500, but the future is bright if they want to spend some money in that future here, but certainly not going to win a lot of Major League Baseball games, only scoring 1 run and gathering 3 hits.
A week ago, Paul Skeens had the second best price behind Shota Imanaga to win the National League Rookie of the Year award. Now, a hefty odds-on favorite into minus money, minus 175. We will have more baseball in Omaha on this Monday. That is just the decisive game 3 to crown a national champion as Tennessee stays alive, evens the CWS championship set at a game apiece with a 4-1 win yesterday over Texas A&M.
Game 7's in the NHL. Game 3's in the College World Series. Whoa. This is where you love to see that drama. And there's a lot of pressure on these kids, because if you lose, there is no tomorrow. But if you win, you're going to be one of those teams that school is going to remember for a long time. And also, a little SEC pride as well on the line.
5th consecutive SEC champ to win a national title. That will be a certainty tonight in the Big O. Copa America underway for the U.S. men's national team, and what a thrilling debut it was in tournament action. Christian Pulisic scoring in the 3rd minute to put the U.S. up. They knock off Bolivia 2-0.
All right, pick up the W in that spot here and move on. We'll see where they fare in this tournament. But also, I mean, I'm a World Cup guy. You know what I mean? So I watch the Cup. By the way, what does COPA mean anyway, C-O-P-A? Does that stand for anything? I don't even know.
I think Cup. I don't know. You're the guy with Spanish heritage in his root. Pulisic had a goal in the third minute, assisted on Falarin. I even practiced it last night. Balogun scoring in the 44th minute as well. Despite protesters on the 18th green. And some officers running around, which might have been a deja vu moment for one Scotty Scheffler. He prevails in a playoff over Tom Kim at the Travelers. Make that 6 wins before July for Scheffler this season.
I'll tell you, man, he is stacking those checks up in the bank right now. It's unbelievable what Scotty Scheffler is doing. Impressive nonetheless. Again, what, a 22 under? Oh, man. About that.
22 under. They were going low in Connecticut. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line Live right here on this Monday morning. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We go around Major League Baseball from the weekend that was. World Series preview? Maybe so. That's what we had in one of the marquee matchups this weekend between the New York Yankees and the Atlanta Braves inside Yankee Stadium. The Braves actually take the series against the Yanks up in the Bronx. Yesterday in the finale, a 3-1 win. Max Fried, sensational on the bump for the Braves. Jared Kelenic, a couple of RBIs as well to push Atlanta by the Bombers. 3-1 the victory. They take two of the three games this weekend. An impressive weekend in New York for Atlanta.
No, it certainly was. And again, a 3-1 victory. This is what you come to understand when you're playing the Atlanta Braves. It's typically going to be lower scoring. Why? Because their bats aren't what they were for the past couple years. Now, having said that, they're getting tremendous pitching. And each and every time we're breaking down Braves game, it's like, what have you got from me from a starter? Max Fried on the road in the Bronx against a really good New York Yankees team. 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run. Then the bullpen comes in and has 3 separate pitchers, each with an inning, all shutting down that Yankees lineup. So that's a great win because, you know, when we take a look at the Braves. I don't think they're going to win anything, but they're going to be there in the end, which means in the playoffs. It's just up to see if that lineup can actually bounce back and stay healthy. I don't like what I see out of them, but all you're asking for, it doesn't matter, Ben, if you're winning 10-9 or 3-1 in games. It's all the same picking up those W's. And also, you figure that you're probably going to slip back a couple games with the Philadelphia Phillies by going on and say, you know what, we're probably going to lose that series to the Yankees in the Bronx, end up winning that series here. So the Philadelphia Phillies, now once again, the best overall record in baseball due to win percentage because the Atlanta Braves won a few games in the Bronx. But also keep in mind, you still want to take a look at, and injuries are always a part of the season. Giancarlo Stanton now on the IL with that hamstring injury up to at least a month. This is something that we see every single year. Just when you think Stanton and maybe Judge are getting going, the injury bug certainly creeps in. He's going to be down at least 1 month. We'll see where the Yankees go from here.
It's a good point, DRS. The Yankees are dealing with some injuries at this moment. Rizzo last week, now Giancarlo Stanton. Maybe that impact of Rizzo, not nearly as important of that of Stanton, but they are shorthanded. The Yankees trying to make some maneuvers right now to stay in front. 52 wins, the most in MLB, but as Donnie mentioned, the Phils only 26 losses despite one less win with 51. Philadelphia, the best record based on winning percentage in all of Major League Baseball. And despite losing the weekend set, the Yankees did not lose any ground in the American League East standing. Still a game and a half advantage over the Baltimore Orioles because the O's this weekend in H-Town did not win a single game. Baltimore swept as Houston wins 3 in a row. 8-1 yesterday in the finale over the O's. We often joke, are we going to put the fork in the Astros? Yesterday, or last week, I made the declaration of jamming that fork deep into the Astros. Today, though, the Houston Astros might have some life after sweeping the Baltimore Orioles.
How about that? That's something that we probably didn't see coming along. You thought Baltimore probably would win the series, if not maybe sweep the Houston Astros. But that wasn't the case. And even yesterday, 8-1, cherry on top, because you had Valdez on the mound. 7 innings pitched, only 1 earned run. Suarez was one of those guys I picked apart yesterday. That high xFIP on the road. And certainly he didn't disappoint from my end of it. 5 innings pitched, 10 hits, and 5 earned runs yesterday. And this is a guy that, even though he gave up 5 earned runs, his ERA only rose to 2.70. So it's one of those things where I always call it like dancing in between the raindrops and not getting wet here. Sooner or later, he was going to get touched up, and he got touched up right away by those Houston Astros. 38-40 on the season. I'm not buying into the Astros just yet, but that was an eye-opening series for the Orioles, where it seems like for the parts of the season, everything was going right. Now maybe facing a little bit of adversity here.
Absolutely so. So when you look at the Houston Astros, won the final two games of their midweek set against the Chicago White Sox. Good. You should beat the worst team in baseball. The Astros did. So that's 5 wins in a row for Houston. Houston, just about a week and a half ago, 30-37, one of the lowest points of this season, where Donnie and I were like, listen, if you're 7 games below 500 in the middle of June, it's just too deep of a hole to crawl out of. Well, since that point, Houston has now won 8 of its last 11 games. A little bit of life. The American League West, a little bit of life this weekend, as the Rangers blanked the Royals yesterday 4-0. Texas sweeps KC this weekend. That's great on its own merit. But when you have Max Scherzer be the reason you completed the weekend sweep in his season debut, his first outing since Game 3 of the World Series last November, that's even better. Scherzer, in his season debut, 57 pitches, 5 innings of scoreless work, striking out 4, only allowed 1 hit, 1 batter on base. He retired 15 of the 16 that he faced. As good of a season opener as you could hope for the veteran and a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, by the way, in the past, too, with Max Scherzer, what was always the issues here? You know, an older pitcher trying to make it through the entire season and still having dominant stuff when it came to the playoffs, which we saw that stuff starting to evaporate. Now you take a look at him getting his first start in Major League Baseball late June. Maybe he can save it up here. And also, you don't need Max Scherzer to go 7, 8, or 9 innings anymore. If he's going to give you 5 quality innings, that's all you can ask for at this point, and maybe a little bit of a shot in the arm for the Texas Rangers. I liked what I saw yesterday. And also, they didn't stretch him out. Hey, look, man, you're going to go 5 innings. They probably told him before the game, probably no more than 5 innings, which probably equated like 75 pitches. But the fact that he only threw around 50 pitches, that was a very, very efficient start there for Max Scherzer yesterday, and a really good win for that bullpen, because they also held on 4 innings of non-scoring for the Kansas City Royals.
A good weekend for those teams in the American League West, the Astros and the Rangers, against pretty solid competition. Again, we talked about it. KC has been struggling just a little bit as of late, maybe regressing back to more of a even 500 mean. They're 8-18 since May 25th, when they were 15 games above 500. But still, 4 straight wins for the Rangers, 5 victories in a row for Houston, 6 and 6.5 games respectively behind the Seattle Mariners. The M's still 10 games above 500, the only team with a winning record in the American League West. But again, you're looking at a couple of teams finding their footing. DRS, over the weekend, only 3 teams have won 4 games or more in a row. The Rangers, the Astros make it 5 in a row, tied with the Guardians for the longest active win streak. Cleveland's also won 5 straight games.
Yeah, Cleveland's really good, man. And again, maybe they'll just continue to fly under the radar by pounding baseball teams, and they might find themselves with the best record in Major League Baseball. They'll be a fun watch the rest of the summer, but I love what I see out of them. And there's a couple guys in that lineup. If you're trying to tag down some RBI props, they'll deliver.
We'll talk about the Guardians and the rest of the weekend more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Skeens Day number 8 in the history of Major League Baseball, and it was another solid start for Paul Skeens. 7 innings of work. only 98 pitches, the deepest he has gone into an MLB game in his young career. But unlike six of the first seven, when Paul Skenes was great and the Pirates would win, yesterday, not the case. 3-1, the victory for the Rays in the weekend finale in Pittsburgh against the Buccos. But still, in the eight starts that Skenes has made, the Pirates are 6-2. Just that second loss coming on a Sunday afternoon inside PNC Park.
Yeah, and you take a look at some of those Skenes starts, right? Because, you know, and they've actually have won some of these games late. But if I'm betting on Skenes and the Pirates, it's only going to be in the first five innings. So if you took a money line wager yesterday, that game ends up 1-1 after five. No harm, no foul, and you move on. If you took it for the full game and Skenes still had a very good game, well, the eighth inning, top of the eighth, I should say, the Tampa Bay Rays tack on two runs. That's not Paul Skenes' fault, but you would take the loss there. So for my money, it's Skenes in the first five innings because you know he's probably going to have a dominant effort. And what's the most he's going to give up? Two runs at that point certainly would keep you involved, but we've seen so many times where one run or less over the first five innings. And also, you take a look at those rookie of the year odds and scenarios on the FanDuel Sportsbook. He's well ahead of everybody else, and rightfully so. He's been nothing short of spectacular since getting called up from the minor leagues.
There are four teams in Major League Baseball that have a losing record outright when booked as the favored side this year. With Paul Skenes on the mound, Pittsburgh is going to often be booked as the favorite, minus 168, that closing money line yesterday. But there are four teams that have a losing record. The Padres, a game below 500 as a favorite. The Pirates, three games below 500, 15-18, that outright record as a money line favorite. Then the Angels and the Marlins, 2-5 for LA, 3-11 for Miami. But that's what you would expect. So just something to keep in mind. It only speaks to what Donnie is saying. It is why often, even though in the first five you will see a money line in favor of that starter, you're going to have a stronger price to pay often than in the first five money line than on that full game money line as well for Pittsburgh. So after the Yankees lose the weekend series at home against the Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, now the best record in all of Major League Baseball. 4-1, the victory yesterday for the Phils. Christopher Sanchez, sensational for Philly yesterday at home as they knock off the D-backs 4-1.
Day before, Sanchez signs an extension here with the Philadelphia Phillies. Yep. So now he comes back and repays them. Seven innings pitched, three hits, zero earned runs, four Ks, no walks. That's a great performance there. The Phillies get just enough offense to carry the day. But let me bring this up here. You know, the Phillies had a three-game set against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Two of those games were not on normal broadcast TV. One on Apple TV and one, I believe, on Roku. So I didn't watch two of the games this weekend for the Phillies, which is fine. You could follow along and handicap the games just as well. But if, like, to Major League Baseball, it's okay. I understand what you want to do sometimes. Okay, you know what? Once a month, we're going to put it on maybe Facebook TV or something that's just not broadcast TV. But putting two of those games on, also, how about this? One game was Cole Hamels' retirement ceremony, which you couldn't watch. And number two was on Sunday, an 11:35 start on a channel that nobody has. I just don't understand what baseball's doing sometimes. I just don't.
Yeah, sorry, DRS. That must have been tough for you, who was not tough this weekend, or who did not have a tough weekend, I should say. Nick Castellanos. The Phils scored 12 runs on Saturday to even the series at one game apiece. They win the rubber match yesterday. Castellanos had an RBI to get the scoring started for the Phils. Had five ribbies on Saturday. He had an RBI in all three games against Arizona in the National League Championship Series rematch from a year ago. So the Phillies win the weekend, 51-26, best record in all of MLB, best winning percentage in the American League. Not the Yankees, not the Orioles after getting swept by the Astros. It's the Cleveland Guardians now. Five straight wins for Cleveland, including a weekend sweep against the Toronto Blue Jays. Cleveland 49-26, best win percentage in the AL.
Yeah, how about that? A plus 104 run differential as well. Five straight victories here, but more importantly here, one win away from 50 wins on the season. And you're also taking a look at a competitive division with the Twins and also the Royals at this point. I really like what I see out of the Guardians, but once again, it's up to that management group here to add on another pitcher at the deadline, or if they can just say, like, you know what? I don't think the Twins will improve or the Royals, and we should be able to win this division. They have some quality batters at the plate, getting some solid starting pitching at times. You just have to add on if you want to be a true World Series contender. Don't be fooled by that record. Add a couple superstars on that talent line here somewhere around that deadline, and maybe we'll be able to find some good playoff baseball in Cleveland.
Donnie's American League team, the Boston Red Sox, stay hot against the Reds.
Let's go.
7 victories in their last 8 in a series victory this weekend in Cincinnati. More on the early line around the W up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one rolling along here on the early line. Exciting times. It's June 24th in just a week's time here, Ben. You know what? We're going to be in the month of July. We're going to be talking about much more sporting events like the NFL on the horizon. But could it be that Major League Baseball, yes, we're going to enjoy for the rest of the summer into those early fall months. But the WNBA certainly heating up. We had a good schedule yesterday. 4 games on the card. Yeah. Now, record-wise, this game we're going to talk about, maybe not the best one. But if you want to talk about anticipation-wise, the people were ready to go. It was the Sky Fever yesterday, and it did not disappoint. 88-87, Sky over the Fever with a big comeback. Superstar performances by Angel Reese, 25 points, 16 rebounds. Caitlin Clark chips in with 17 points, 13 assists, and 6 rebounds in that game. We saw everything we wanted, including an atmosphere that was charged and ready to go, and the superstars didn't disappoint. The WNBA, that rookie class, Ben, really giving it to us now.
Really giving it, and that's really the key, DRS, because so much expectation was paid into these rookies entering. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, unfortunate for Cam Brink that her season has come to a close, but across the league, also in Chicago, Camila Cardoso, Nika Mühl now with the Seattle Storm, so many rookies on display, and they have all risen to the occasion. Let's focus on what happened yesterday in Chicago. Indiana, after playing 11 games in the first 20 days of the WNBA season, often against the Sun, the Liberty, the Aces, it was a grueling gauntlet for Caitlin Clark, Leah Boston, and the rest of the Fever to get their feet wet here in 2024. They were 2-9, but starting to find their footing. They entered yesterday on a 4-game win streak, victorious in 5 of their last 6, as they have had some more time to develop and seemed as though they would make it 5 straight wins, up by 11 at the start of the fourth, up by as many as 12. But enter Angel Reese, who Caitlin Clark is doing historic things as expected. Angel Reese matching those words as well. 25 points, 16 rebounds yesterday. The first rookie, Donnie, since Asia Wilson during her rookie campaign back in 2018 to post a 25-point, 15-rebound performance. Angel Reese, 8 consecutive double-doubles. That is a record for a WNBA rookie in the history of the league for the most consecutive double-doubles. Nobody's had more than 6 in a row. Reese has 8. And Caitlin Clark, not bad on the other side. 5 triples, 17 points, 13 dimes. Chicago came all the way back for a victory. Indiana does cover as a slight 2.5-point underdog. But you look at the 3 games between these two that have dueled both in college basketball, LSU and Iowa, the national championship game in 2023. Of course, an Elite 8 matchup in the 2024. Big Dance now 3 times here in their WNBA career. All 3 games decided by 8 points or less. 2 of the 3 decided by just a single point. And Donnie, as you well know, because you were tuned in for the final fourth quarter last week in the matchup between these two clubs in Indianapolis, it might have been 8 points at the end, but it was much tighter throughout the final few minutes of regulation. It is a rivalry between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And although the discourse has gotten out of hands at times, the actual basketball played between these two and their teams has been sensational. And again, you set high expectations for things and people in your life. Often they do not match said expectations. Both Clark and Reese are rising above the expectations that were already a very high bar to clear.
No, it certainly were. And also, the expectations for Caitlin Clark, certainly the sky is the limit entering into WNBA. And maybe a little bit easier for a guard to come in. Now, granted, guys are going to check her, the girls are going to check her at the top of the key and certainly maybe double team her. But you're seeing some of those like, okay, when I'm open, I can knock down the 3 shot. It's going to be a little bit easier. The one thing that's interesting for me for Angel Reese is, again, yesterday, she's a double-double machine, 25-16. The physicality from the NCAA basketball game for the women's game into the WNBA, not even close. So it's amazing that she's just able able to pick up of what she did in college and transfer that into the WNBA and is a dominant force. Now, if we are taking a look at the standings in the WNBA, now granted, still a long way to go. As of today, based on that victory, the Sky would be in the playoffs and the Fever would not be in the playoffs. We'd love for them both to be there. But also, one of those things was almost like, let's just say, let's go back a week or 2 weeks ago. Caitlin Clark probably going to be easily picked as the rookie of the year in the WNBA. You take a look at some of those numbers now. Caitlin Clark entering the weekend, minus 4,000 price, now a 1,400 price here. So certainly things are checking out much, much closer here. And you take a look at now, I actually read that wrong there. Clark minus 950, Reese plus 400 now. So from Friday till today, that's a big discrepancy here. I love to see it here. And if we have, you know, bird magic that we talk about in the NBA, sort of resurrecting to get people back involved, we could have something here, Ben, for the next 10 years. Between these two girls.
And let's not forget last Sunday's game on CBS, kind of the buildup before we got to the final round of the United States Open, 2.25 million viewers, the most watched WNBA game in over two decades since Memorial Day weekend of 2001. This one on ESPN yesterday, 4 p.m. Eastern, throughout a Sunday afternoon. I'm sure historic marks. We had not seen a WNBA game in the last two decades get to 2 million viewers. Two games this year. Caitlin Clark's debut against Connecticut, and of course last Sunday. I'm sure we'll flirt with those numbers yesterday afternoon as well. This is a capitalizing moment for the WNBA, a moment in what we saw throughout the NCAA women's tournament with historic viewership and records there as well, in carrying over and seizing the momentum. That's what we have. And Donnie, it is interesting from the playoff perspective. Indiana still has won five of its last seven games. Chicago, two consecutive victories, as we shared last year, in a 12-team WNBA, eight teams make the postseason. Only four last year did so with a winning record. That means both of these teams, even if they're a few games below 500, will be in the playoff chase throughout this summer. And as we go to Atlanta, the Dream are struggling. It's where Caitlin Clark and Indiana won a game on Friday night. The Dream, without their best player in Ryan Howard, have dropped a few here. So they are 6-9. And the New York Liberty, the WNBA's best team, 96-75. The Libs a win by 21, covering as an 8.5-point road favorite in the ATL. With no Ryan Howard, going to be difficult for the Dream on the other side. Sabrina Ionescu, 26 points, 11 dimes yesterday to lead New York. Make that 15-3 DRS for the Liberty, the best team in the WNBA.
Yeah, most wins in the WNBA. Three teams, however, in the loss column with three losses. And again, the Liberty now 15-3, looking good. You take a look at one of those other teams yesterday, also with only three losses. That's the Sun. Why do they have three losses now? Because they lost to the Storm, 72-61. Thomas, 14 points, 14 rebounds in that game to sort of help out for Connecticut in the loss. A lower scoring game there. Disappointing effort there for the Sun.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Donnie, when you look at Sun games, you see the total yesterday, 153.5. That's low by WNBA standards, almost reminiscent of a college basketball total. And because of how ferocious Connecticut is on the defensive side of the floor, they often stay under. It's one of my favorite betting trends to keep an eye on around the W. All five starters yesterday, by the way, for Seattle into double figures, led by Jewel Lloyd, who led the WNBA a season ago in scoring. This year, she has a lot more reinforcement around her. Skylar Diggins-Smith, Nneka Ogumike. This Seattle team is one to pay attention to. They entered the season with the fourth best price to win the WNBA title, now fifth best number at 10-1. The Aces, the favorites at plus 135, playing some better ball, of course, after dropping four of five games. The Liberty, the best team in the W, a 2-1 number. They've won 11 or 10 of their last 11 games, 15 of their 18 this year. And the Suns, still that third best price at plus 750. But the Lynx, also 13 wins. It's been a much more competitive WNBA season than last year's super team era between the Aces and the Liberty.
No, it certainly has, and you're all taking a look at what we're looking for in the regular season doesn't necessarily add up to the postseason, because the Aces at 8-6, a plus 135 price, still the best at the FanDuel Sportsbook to cut down the nets in the WNBA. We'll see how it plays out. You know what else? Cutting down the nets, scoring into the nets tonight. That's the Oilers tonight. Can the Oilers pull it off? Hockey, 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 baby. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is what you play an entire season in the National Hockey League for. This is why we love the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it comes to a head tonight in game number 7 of the Stanley Cup final. Donnie, we often talk about the stress involved in watching postseason hockey. You want stress? How about a game 7 in the Stanley Cup final? And not because we have traded blows all series long, like it was even after the first two in Sunrise. The Panthers took a game in Edmonton, back and forth we go. No. Stressed to the nth degree as Florida had a 3-0 series lead after the opening three games. And Edmonton has evened. The Oilers winning 3 in a row, looking for the reverse sweep with added history on the line tonight in Sunrise, Florida. Will we see the first 0-3 deficit overcome in a Stanley Cup final since 1942, when the Toronto Maple Leafs came all the way back to beat the Detroit Red Wings? That is what is at stake tonight in Sunrise. It's the Panthers. It's the Oilers. It's game 7.
It's going to be tremendous. It really is. And, you know, sometimes we take a look at historical data. This isn't supposed to happen here. You're not supposed to get down 0-3 in a series and say, okay, we just lost the first three, but we should be able to come back and win the next four. But when you take a look at the way that it's been done, it's Edmonton Oilers hockey. It's getting up on your skates here. It's making a fast-paced environment, because look at those last couple games here when you take a look at the Oilers win. 8-1, 5-3, and 5-1. If you're going to score a minimum of 5 goals for the Edmonton Oilers, you're going to win a lot of hockey games here. But also keep in mind, Sergei Bobrovsky was probably going to win the Conn Smythe trophy here, and rightfully so, because of how well he played throughout the playoffs and was sensational in games 1 and games 2. And even in game number 3, 4-3, still picked up the victory. That should have been a shoe-in here. Yeah. But the fact you give up 8 goals in game number 4, okay, he'll be able to bounce back and pick up a good one there in game number 5. Didn't happen. So you're taking a look at, what, 18 total goals. Now, again, some of those are empty net goals. They don't go against him, but he's been pulled here. There's the worst case scenario for the Florida Panthers is maybe you have a goalie that lost some of his confidence after being dominant. And you can't just say to yourself, like, you know what? You can always get that back. Momentum is on the Oilers' side right now. And if anybody's saying, well, how could they come back and win? Just take a look at those lines tonight, Ben. It's not as if it's minus 165 as a favorite for the Panthers. We're at a de facto pick them, and rightfully so.
Because anything is possible. So much history is on the line in Game 7. It's the third ever appearance in a Stanley Cup final for Florida as a franchise. Their first season in the National Hockey League, 1993-94, 3 decades ago, looking for their first ever Stanley Cup title. Meanwhile, for Edmonton, not just all of the Oilers hoping to complete a dramatic comeback, but in 1942, it was the Toronto Maple Leafs coming all the way back to beat the Detroit Red Wings, as I shared. It feels like it is not, but it feels like it has been that long since Canada as a nation has rightfully claimed Lord Stanley's Cup. It has been 30 years since 1993 in the Montreal Canadiens. It is huge tonight, and the stakes that are on the line in the southernmost point of the National Hockey League, Sunrise, Florida. And Donnie, it's been pretty clear to see the recipe for Edmonton in this series. It should not be shocking that if the Oilers are great offensively, that is going to favor their outcomes. But the Panthers were so dominant in the opening two games in Sunrise, as many of our favorite hockey guests, Joe Madden, who will be on the show later on, Anna Dua, Casey Hudson, Pete Jensen, all pointed out. Florida plays such a physical style of hockey, as we have seen throughout the Stanley Cup postseason. It might take the Oilers some time to adjust, and they did not in the first two games. And then Florida went up to Edmonton and took it to the Oilers, despite the Oilers scoring first in that game. Florida scored the next 4 goals unanswered to hold on for a 4-3 victory. But that game went over, and all 3 Edmonton wins have gone over a total of 5.5 as well. When things are good offensively for the Oilers, That's when they play their best hockey. Yes, two of the goals were empty netters on Friday night in game number six. Bobrovsky only allowed three, but he has not been standing on his head as he did early in this series.
No, and let's just say we are finding ourselves in a game number seven. How we got there was a little bit different, Ben. Instead of going 8-1, 5-3, 5-1, yeah. How about if we went 2-1, 2-1, 2-1? Like, oh, man, Bobrovsky's still playing well. They just have to, you know, get through and score a little bit more goals. The fact that they basically got demoralized in three straight games, that's the telling sign, because you know what you're looking forward to here in game number seven if you're an Oilers fan? How about that early goal against Bobrovsky? And it doesn't even have to be a clean one where it's like a breakaway from Connor McDavid. How about just a questionable goal given up early? Because you know what that's going to do? It's going to put some doubt in the minds of the Florida Panthers backers here, specifically with Bobrovsky. And maybe do you pull him early if he doesn't have it early? That's going to be something to watch tonight. Yeah.
He's 100-1 is the man known as Bob to win the Conn Smythe. Which after the first two games, he was a -225 favorite. And it felt like, yeah, that's the right decision. This guy has been incredible between the pipes for Florida. Now it's Connor McDavid running away with it at -3,500. Listen, I am not going to pretend to be the sharpest hockey handicapper or know the intricacies of the Conn Smythe Award. I know it's an entire MVP for the postseason, but of course it is encapsulated with how you perform in getting to a Stanley Cup final. We know that a player, a skater, has not won the Conn Smythe Award if his team has failed to win the Stanley Cup since Reggie Leach back in 1976 or whatever it was for the Philadelphia Flyers. Only one skater in its history has won the Conn Smythe on the losing team. But Donnie, that -3,500 price for McDavid pretty much says it doesn't matter what the result is at the end of the night. He's winning the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, and again, we have to remember, like, the Conn Smythe isn't how well you played in the finals, which he's been absolutely spectacular. It's how you've been throughout the playoffs, which he's been incredible. And the reason why we were going to give it to Bobrovsky is because, hey, you know what? They're going to win a 4-0 sweep here against a high-powered Edmonton team, and he's going to hold them down. Then he should walk away with it. But you're not going to win the Conn Smythe here if you're giving up 8-5-5 on your way to maybe a 4-3 victory tonight. So you're right. It looks like it's going to be Conn McDavid's win or lose, and deservedly so.
And this is what you hope for. -114, Florida, a slight home ice favorite, -106 on the other side for the Oilers. It is a near pick'em for the final hockey game of this season with a Stanley Cup at stake. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A game seven to decide the Stanley Cup final. That's what you could hope for. Winner take all, one final game to end out a season to determine a championship. And it's not just in Sunrise on the ice tonight. It's also in Omaha, Nebraska on the diamond. Game number three of the Men's College World Series championship set between the Tennessee Volunteers, the number one national seed, and the number three national seed, the Texas A&M Aggies. On Friday night, A&M victorious in a high-scoring offensive affair in game number one. I said Friday night, I meant Saturday night, 9-5, the victory for the Aggies over the Vols. But Tennessee responded yesterday with a 4-1 win. They were booked as a -250 favorite from the odds makers, expecting the Vols would respond and not go quietly in being swept into that long off-season's night. They did not. Over 11.5 in game number one in A&M win. Tennessee under 11.5 in their game two victory to even us up at a game apiece, which sets up a decisive game three tonight in Omaha.
All hands on deck. And by the way, as you pointed out, interesting there on Saturday, right? You had Texas A&M score 9 runs on 13 hits, no errors for them. And then you take a look at Tennessee, who obviously is the prohibitive favorite coming in, losing that game by 4 runs. They also pounded out 12 hits, but how about that? 3 errors in that game. You flip it over to Sunday's game, and boy, did they clean that up. Tennessee, 4 runs on 7 hits and no errors from themselves, and actually holding Texas A&M to only that 1 run with 7 hits. This should be a great game to watch you play out, and you want to talk about high leverage situations. These these guys play a lot of baseball during their regular seasons, right into the regionals and the super regionals, all for that to come baseball. Down to one game against an SEC rival where the winner takes all. This should be some pretty good drama. And again, just like in hockey, I've always been rooting for Edmonton here entering into the playoffs, but really just saying, give me an extended series and a game seven for how much hype it's going to be. So it feels like even though it is game number three, it's basically game number seven between Tennessee and Texas A&M. And we'll see if I guess yep. if you can call A&M an underdog, maybe the only team they'd be underdogs to would be Tennessee. This should be a fantastic yep. one to let it play out today.
Here's what is at stake tonight. Tennessee looking to become the first number one national seed to win the Men's College World Series title since the very first year of this seeding format back in 1999 and Donnie's Miami Hurricanes. You see the Vols heavily expected to win a title tonight, minus 290 for one game. And let's not forget, A&M leading up until yesterday, perfect in playoffs or in postseason play throughout the NCAA tournament. They were a perfect 9-0, looking to become one of the only teams in the history of the CWS to be 10-0 and a national champion, but A&M not quite able to do that, falling yesterday 4-1. And again, a reminder, both of the totals for the first two games of the CWS Finals, 11.5. 9-5, the victory for A&M on Saturday, well over. 4-1, the game yesterday, 11.5. 9.5 for a winner-take-all game three. All hands on deck, final game of a college baseball season. I'm going under, and I don't care the over has the juice at minus 136. Xander Sechrist gets the start for Tennessee tonight. He has become the Vols' best starter, their de facto ace this year. Justin Lampkin will answer on the other side for the Aggies. We have two great pitchers starting the game, and then everybody behind them, for as long as they will go tonight in Omaha, is going to be throwing their final outing of this college baseball season. I know we saw offense on Saturday. A&M has played a lot of low-scoring games at the College World Series throughout this NCAA tournament. I stay under 9.5.
Now, how about this, though? Here's the bigger question, though. How about, did we have a midnight yell practice last night for A&M getting ready for this big game, sure. number three here? Did they switch it over to Omaha at this point? Because that's what I'm interested to see. Give me the fans tonight. Give me the fans making an impact with all their cheers. And maybe, can we go to extra innings here in the College World Series in a pivotal game number three? Oh, my goodness. But look, 2-7 tonight. Now, question is, we all have multiple TVs here, but what's getting your eye line tonight? Is it going to be the NHL? Is it going to be the College World Series? I mean, come on now. Let's be truthful.
You know I got multiple screens, so we'll be okay in doing that. I think main screen, main focus, this is just me. It's going to be on Omaha, Nebraska in the men's CWS Finals. Texas A&M looks for its first national championship in baseball. The Volunteers look to be the first number one national seed since 1999 to take home a title. And we do love the Stanley Cup as well. Hour number two on the other side of the break here on the Early Line.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com. Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.